Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, you know, I thought about maybe a little essay for St. Patrick's Day, which, of course, is coming up. Then I came across something which is very appropriate. I think that this time of year, especially with the holidays over with, or at least the Christmas holidays over with, I've been a stickler about this for many years, especially with my own children, or anybody in particular. That's sending thank you notes. I think we make it pretty easy now with the email that all you have to do is spend a little time and jot off a little thank you or hi or hello or just a bit of feeling, emotion towards someone. So there's really no excuse not to write them. No matter how gracious people are, you just should say thank you. But this is a little essay written by Bruce Cameron, of course, who we're familiar with from his book, Eight Simple Rules for Dating My Teenage Daughter, which became a TV show, of course, with John Ritter. He titles his essay, How to Teach Thank You Notes. In the holiday frenzy to open packages, kids forget to express appreciation. Here's what parents can say and do. Bruce writes, of all the people on my holiday shopping list this season, there's one little boy for whom buying a gift has become increasingly difficult. He's a wonderful child, adorable and loving, and he's not fussy or petulant or spoiled. Though he lives across the country from me, I receive regular updates and photos, and he likes all the things that boys his age want to play with. Shopping for him should be easy, but I find it hard to summon up any enthusiasm because in all the years I've given him presents, he has never once sent me a thank you note. Sending thank you notes is becoming a lost art, mourns Mary Mitchell, a syndicated columnist known as Ms. Demeanor and author of 6 etiquette books. In her view, each generation, compared with the one before, is losing a sense of consideration for other people. Without respect, she says, you have conflict. Ms. Demeter would be proud of me. I've figured out a way to ensure that my children always send thank you notes. And such a gesture is important, says Ms. Demeter, because a grateful attitude is a tremendous life skill. An efficient and inexpensive way to set ourselves apart in the workforce and in our adult lives. Teach your children that habit of manners comes from inside. It's an attitude based on respecting other people. Well, a few years ago, as my children descended like piranhas on their presents under the Christmas tree, the only attitude I could see was greed. Where was the appreciation for the giver's investment of time and effort? A thank you note should contain 3 things. An acknowledgement of the gift. Love the tie with the picture of a horse on it. A recognition of the time and effort spent to select it. You must have shopped all over the state to find such a unique item. And a prediction of how you will use your gift or the way it has enhanced your life. I'll be sure to wear it to the next Mr. Ed convention. So, 5 years ago, in one of my rare flashes of parental insight, I decided that the most opportune time to teach this basic courtesy is while the tinsel is hot. To the horror of my children, I announced that, henceforth, every gift received will be an occasion for a thank you note written immediately, on the spot. I have explained to my kids how I have reacted to not hearing from that little boy, how it made me feel unappreciated and unmotivated to repeat the process next year. I have reluctantly given my kids the green light to send email thank you notes, though hand-lettered ones, at least to me, still seem friendlier. But pretty much any thank you makes the gift giver feel special, just as, we hope, the recipient feels. It's a gesture that perfectly captures the spirit of the holidays. Very true. So, if you haven't written your thank you notes yet, what's the matter for you? No reason you can't do it now. You got tied up. Things got hectic. You were busy. But you know what? You remember the thoughtfulness of that gift that was sent or given to you on Christmas. So why not share that with someone else? Good advice. Very good advice. I want to remember that the people at Provision Theater presents their latest hit production, Fish Eyes. A routine morning in a small fishing town. Two brothers, fishermen who had a poor catch last night. They have no idea that they're about to encounter a man who will change their lives forever. This stranger is different, simple, wise, vulnerable, but strong. And he turns their world upside down. Full of surprises, questions, confusion, pain, joy, and miracles, the story of Jesus and the disciples has fascinated us for 2,000 years. Fish Eyes is a poignant and humorous look at how this God-man affected the world through two very human sets of eyes, Peter and Andrew. And that's playing, of course, through March 31st at the Provision Theater, 1001 Roosevelt Road, kitty corner from St. Ignatius and across the street from UIC. For information, 312-455-0066. And certainly, you have an opportunity to go down because Tim Gregory, the artistic director and founder of Provision Theater, has put together another award-winning and hit show, and certainly a wonderful way to spend a short period of time in a great theater. You know, I got a press release last week, and hopefully we'll be talking to our good pal Luca Serra from the Chicago Park District next week on our show about the 10th annual Spring Eggstravaganza at Soldier Field. And, of course, it's the free admission candy grab for the kids in honor of Easter on March 23rd. And it starts at 8:30. And you can get even tickets to the brunch at the United Club in Soldier Field. But it's always fun for the kids. They're able to run on the field and find their Easter eggs. Now, I don't know what we're going to do with all the snow we have on the ground. But hopefully, who knows, it might be melted by then, or we might have more snow. It'll be really an Easter egg grab. So for information, 312-235-7162. And Marta Juanita also sent over some information about all the various parks in the park district. There are, this is kind of remarkable, I didn't realize this myself, having worked for the park district, 580 parks, 8,100 acres of park land, 26 miles of lakefront, 10 museums, 2 world-class conservatories, 16 historic lagoons, 10 bird and wildlife gardens, thousands of special events, sports, and entertaining programs with the Park District. So if you haven't taken advantage of, and I can't believe anyone hasn't, of all the great offerings at the Park District or the park districts that they have to offer, especially the Extravaganza, the 10th annual, which is coming up on March 23rd, log on to their website, which is chicagoparkdistrict.com, or call 312-742-PLAY, which is 2001, and get that information. Just looking at some of the great, of course, we're going to talk with one of the stars from the newest Broadway in Chicago hit, Jekyll and Hyde the musical. That's going to be great. Kind of a very Phantom of the Opera-ish type of musical. I'm kind of looking forward to that. And we're talking with Teal Wicks, one of the stars of Jekyll and Hyde. She portrayed Elphaba in Wicked out in California. But some of the offerings that are coming next season, Buddy, the Buddy Holly story, Before the Beatles, the Beach Boys, or the Rolling Stones, ever played a note. Rock and Roll Was Forever Changed by Buddy Holly, a 19-year-old kid from Texas. That'll be coming Broadway in Chicago, Cadillac Palace Theater in June. Flashdance also coming in July. Of course, everybody saw two of the Flash dances, and that will be coming July through August. To Master the Art, which was a big hit in Chicago. And it will be coming back, the story of the romance of Julia and Paul Child. Of course, Julia Child, the great French chef. Big hit in Chicago, certainly at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. Evita will be back. Of course, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Tony Award-winning musical. Once, which has been on Broadway, won 8 2012 Tony Awards. And Elf, remember the movie? And Elf would be back in November at the Cadillac Palace Theater. So fun things to come up. What else? Wicked will be back. That's great. Wicked's going to come back in October. It'll play almost to Christmas. The Cat in the Hat, that'll be coming in June at the Broadway Playhouse. Dr. Seuss's Cat in the Hat. It'll be great for the kids. And We Will Rock You, which is the music of Queen. So a lot of fun things for Broadway in Chicago, and certainly a lot of fun things and opportunities for people to enjoy great theater in Chicago. Well, we have a fun show today. We have some very talented guests. As I said, Teal Wicks, who portrayed Elphaba in the California production of Wicked, will be talking about her starring role in Jekyll and Hyde, the musical. Our good pal Rich Daniels from the City Lights Orchestra, always enjoyable to be able to get the word out about Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And, of course, they have their terrific Shamrock benefit coming up for St. Patrick's Day. And all those people that are out kind of giving shamrocks, make sure you pick one up and put it on your lapel or on the dashboard so people know that you support one of the great institutions in Chicago, Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. Our good pal Mark Schmelzer and Scott Donahue doing such a terrific job over there. I'm going to give that phone number, 312-738-8330. And we'll be talking with Richie here coming up. And we'll be talking about St. Patrick's Day with one of the great restaurateurs in Chicago. Billy Lawless, of course, the owner of The Gauge, and Henri is busy with his newest restaurant, which is going to be located at Grand and Halsted. But his general manager, director of operations, our good pal Patrick Doyle from DePaul University, son of the great Jimmy Doyle, one of the great vice presidents of DePaul University for many years. Patrick's doing a terrific job as the director of operations for Billy, and we'll be chatting with him a little bit. But I thought we'd start with a little music, and in honor of having Richie Daniels on the show, something from his City Lights Orchestra, and one song that we're all familiar with, of course, Frank Sinatra's great song, In the Wee Small Hours of the Morning. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show. Thank you. Two of Chicago's great restaurants are one that's been around for a few years and one that's been an instant success since it's opened, and both sit door-to-door to one another on Michigan Avenue. The Gage is a sprawling, energetic restaurant and tavern that is at 24 South Michigan, an inviting, comfortable place to savor delicious, upscale comfort food, fine wines, boutique beers, and whiskeys while enjoying the relaxing atmosphere of its vintage decor. Henri is a newly opened, light-filled, white tablecloth fine dining restaurant that has become, in just a short time, one of Chicago's favorite dining destinations. Located right next door at 18 South Michigan, it's another hit for Billy Lawless and his dad and the accomplished and award-winning chef, Dirk Flanagan. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning restaurateur, a leader in the restaurant and hospitality industry in Chicago, one of the brightest young stars in Chicago's fine dining scene, proud graduate of DePaul University, the director of operations, and most certainly one of the most welcoming Irishmen in Chicago, now celebrating St. Patrick's Day like no one else can at the award-winning restaurants The Gage, located at 24th North Michigan, and Henri right next door, our good pal, Mr. Patrick Doyle. Patrick, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure to have you, and it's your time of the season coming up, huh?
It is, absolutely. We're looking forward to it.
Of course, St. Patrick's Day and the weeks before with all the parades and everything. We got the Southside Parade coming up this weekend, and certainly St. Patrick's Day coming up, St. Patrick's Day Parade coming up next weekend. But you celebrate for the whole – we actually celebrate for the whole month, but you celebrate for the whole week, right?
Absolutely, and we kind of joke around around here. As soon as March 1st hit, everybody's in festive spirits. So it's a great time of year, and we're really looking forward to it, and it's great to have it back again.
Now, I know you wear the DePaul blue, but you serve – is there any green beer at the Gage here for the holidays?
We don't go with the green beer. We're proud of the beer that we serve, and we want to make sure that that's well-represented as well.
Two great restaurants on Michigan Avenue there. It's been a destination spot for a lot of the people that live in and around Chicago, and certainly a lot of the tourists that come down. And with your direction as the director of operations and the great staff you have with Billy Lawless and his dad, of course, doing what they do so well, it's become a great success there.
Yeah, it has. We obviously are in a great location, and that definitely helps. But what's been great is the relationships that we've built with people who live and work in the area or who live in the surrounding areas who we've really, created a great relationship with. And we've really enjoyed that throughout the years, and I think that's what's really led to our success and what we'll continue to focus on in the future as well.
Well, that's attributable to you too, Patrick, and I say this myself. You are one of the most welcoming people in the restaurant business in Chicago. People gravitate to the restaurants for the food and so forth, but it's always nice to have a friendly face and a handshake when you walk in, and you do that so very well with all your guests.
Well, I appreciate that, and that's something that, Billy and I have focused on over the years and making sure that our staff is the same way. And we always say it starts with great people. So the great people that we hire are the people that we continue to kind of pass on that style of hospitality.
Well, what are some of the things that you're going to have special for St. Patrick's Day?
Well, obviously, the Chicago American Irish tradition is to have corned beef. So that's definitely going to be well represented on our menu. However, we will also be serving some really nice wood grilled. Salmon, mm-hmm. And then some very nice specialties, kind of some Irish farmhouse style soup with peas and vegetables, and it's going to be a really nice hearty way to start the celebration.
Well, I know is corned beef really an Irish dish though?
No, that's the interesting thing about it is if you ask any Irishman such as Billy, they'll tell you that they've never had corned beef until they came to the States, but. It's definitely, coming from an Irish immigrant family, it was definitely a staple when it was kind of the cheaper side of beef for the immigrants early on. But we found a way to make it very tasty and very well prepared.
I love corned beef. I really do. I just like a couple slices of corned beef. And of course, Irish stew is very popular around the holidays. Salmon is, too. Salmon is an Irish dish.
It is. And, that's one of the things that I think Irish, cuisine is kind of lost when it comes to the States at times. So we really wanted to represent the great fishing culture of the Irish people, and I think in the salmon that we'll be offering will definitely be a great representation. We'll also be serving a really nice shepherd's pie, which we served as specials, over the last year or so at the restaurant. It's going to be a lamb-based shepherd's pie. It's absolutely outstanding. And it'll definitely fill you up. It's something that you won't go hungry afterwards.
Sure. Well, you know, it's funny you say that because one of my guests, when we were over there for lunch the other day, my guest had that, and he said it was terrific.
Yeah. We've been running this special, kind of gearing up for the week, and it's definitely been a crowd pleaser. People have been begging for us to put it as a permanent fixture on our menu. So
now you still have fish and chips for me, won't you?
Of course, always. Can't go wrong with our fish and chips. You know, our batter is unique. We have a unique combination of Pilsner beer, Guinness beer, as well as vodka. And what that does is creates a really light, fluffy breading that doesn't get weighed down by the oil that it's cooked in. And obviously you have to start with good quality fish that we use. We use an Icelandic cod that really stands up to the frying preparation. But really light, fluffy, really enjoyable.
Well, you know, that's one of my favorites. And without a doubt, it's the best fish and chips in Chicago.
Cool. Thank you.
It really is. What are some of your favorites on the menu?
Currently, right now, we're kind of getting known for our poutine, which is a really nice Canadian, actually, style dish. But it's definitely a crowd pleaser at the moment, and we've been getting a lot of recognition. On our dinner menu...
Now, let's go back to the poutine. I know that's sure. Billy's wife has brought that onto the menu because she's from Canada. What is that exactly?
It's always been a French fries and gravy-based dish. It's kind of they call it the Canadian drinking food.
Okay.
So that's kind of the base of it. But we kind of wanted to step it up a little bit. We've used a lot of different games throughout the year, such games as elk and boar. Right now we're using a smoked pork confit that's really nice, and it's definitely a good hearty pub food. But then also obviously the great thing about the gauge is we have your great pub fare, but then we also have kind of the nicer kind of finer dishes that, obviously we use great ingredients, but also used with the proper techniques of our well-trained culinary staff. So right now we're serving an antelope tartare at dinner, which is fantastic.
Really?
Served with shaved Gouda cheese, a squash puree, a chili puree, and a quail egg on top.
Hmm.
And just like a typical, tartare, mixed everything together with some caper and shallot, and it's fantastic.
You can't get that at Kelly's up there on Fullerton Avenue, can you?
No. I love Kelly's, but I don't think they serve that.
Which is kind of different, which brings it the point to mention, of course, the award-winning chef, Dirk Flanagan, who does always a terrific job, both the Gage and the Henri.
Yeah, we were fortunate to have Chef with us for a long time, and he's definitely been a big part of our success, and we are we're happy for him, and he's going to do well in his new adventures. But he's definitely been a big part of what we've done here.
Where do you see the restaurant business going? What are you going to do differently a year from now or 2 years from now that you don't do now at the Gage, Patrick?
I think definitely our focus is going to be on the people coming in the door and really making sure that they're taken care of and that they feel at home. And I think that, like we were talking about earlier, that's been a big part of our success. But as far as what we're looking to do differently is we're not trying to reinvent anything. We really want to focus and making sure that what we're doing is done well. And then looking at things that we're doing and seeing if there's a better way to do them. But we also look to to the young, talented culinary staff that we have who are constantly coming up with great ideas, both in ingredients but also in technique. So a lot of what we're doing now is a lot of smoked meats, a lot of different preparations of different games, and really kind of looking for unique takes on classic dishes.
And something you can always rely upon is a good basic comfort food that you can get at the Gage. If you want a great basic meal, you want something a little more sophisticated, you can get it at the Gage, or you can get it at Henri, but that's something you can always rely upon.
Absolutely. And that's a good example of our desire to take something that's simple and kind of change it and make it unique and something different is our venison burger, which is a really nice combination of venison and beef. That's a hand-packed house-made patty that's cooked. It's got topped with everything from Gouda cheese to caramelized red onion to jalapenos and Dijon aioli on a pretzel bun. So I'm sorry, on a brioche bun. So you can't really go wrong there.
Something different, something that we're all familiar with, but you just put a little different twist on it, which gives a little different taste, and people go, boy, that was terrific.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And if they're familiar with the preparation of something as simple as a burger, they're a little bit more, people are a little bit more adventurous if they're familiar with, if it's a little bit more approachable.
Well, Mom and Dad are in Ireland. They're enjoying themselves over there?
Yeah, they are. They're doing great. Actually, my mom's home temporarily, but she'll be heading back next week just in time for St. Patrick's Day in Dublin. So.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Of course, your dad was one of the vice presidents over at DePaul University, one of the great guys involved with DePaul for so many years, and put a lot of kids through that university, huh?
He was, yeah. Thank you very much. He had a long, great tenure there, and I think he misses it dearly, but he's excited about being overseas.
Oh, miss him. Make sure you tell him we said hello, huh?
I will, absolutely.
The people of the Loop have been waiting, and now, thanks to Billy Lawless, the wait is over. The Ireland native and his father ventured far from their neighborhood pubs, the Irish Oak and the Grafton, to open the two great spots on a great strip of Chicago called Michigan Avenue, and they did it right. With an experienced restaurateur like Billy and an award-winning chef like Dirk Flanagan and great people like Patrick Doyle, you have a formula for success, and certainly a success it's been, and what a terrific spot to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Week, or St. Patrick's Month. And on the line with us right now is Patrick Doyle, the Director of Operations for the Gage and Henri. Patrick, maybe a phone number or website if people like get some information?
Sure, absolutely. Our website for the Gage is thegagechicago.com, and our phone number is 312-372-4243. Please give us a call to set up reservations. Also for Henri, which is also going to be open for dinner on the weekends, and will be open on Saturday and Sunday for dinner reservations. That's located at 18 South Michigan Avenue, and you can find the website at henrichicago.com, and that phone number is 312-578-0763. Reservations are highly recommended for both restaurants.
Well, always a pleasure, my pal, and I will see you soon, and continued success, and tell Billy we said hello, and looking forward to his new restaurant up at Grand and Halstead he was talking about.
Grand Halstead in Milwaukee, so yeah, that's in the works. Not a lot of details right now that are available, but more details to come, especially for you.
Well, we'll get the word out. My pal, thanks again.
Awesome. Kevin, thank you very much.
Thanks, Patrick.
All the best.
Patrick Doyle, one of the fine young gentlemen who's one of the great young restaurateurs in Chicago. Just a great, great guy because he comes from a great, great, great family. And a terrific place to spend St. Patrick's Day or St. Patrick's Week or St. Patrick's Month at the Gage or Henri. Again, for information, 312-372-4243. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that the all-new production of Jekyll and Hyde will play the Cadillac Palace Theater, 151 West Randolph, for 2 weeks only, March 12th through the 24th. American Idol star and Tony Award nominee Constantine Maroulis joins with Grammy Award nominee and R&B superstar Deborah Cox and the star from Wicked, Teal Wicks, to inject new life into the classic tale of good and evil, Jekyll and Hyde. After four thrilling, chilling years on Broadway and multiple worldwide tours, this dark and dangerous love story from Tony and Grammy Award nominee Frank Wildhorn and Oscar and Grammy winner Leslie Bricusse returns in a stunning new pre-Broadway production directed by Tony nominee Jeff Calhoun and includes all the classic love songs that first grabbed audiences by the throat and transformed Jekyll and Hyde into a theatrical phenomenon. The musical is based on the acclaimed novella The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson, about a London doctor who accidentally unleashes his evil alternate personality in his quest to cure his father's mental illness. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning Broadway performer who received critical acclaim for her role as Elphaba in the hit musical Wicked. Teal has starred in such classics as Carousel, Cabaret, Chicago, and Pippin, and Teal has appeared on TV in The Good Wife. Accomplished vocalist, proud graduate of UC Irvine, member of the advisory board of the California State Summer School for the Arts, and now starring as Emma Carew in the hit show Jekyll and Hyde, the musical. The Cadillac Palace Theater, 151 West Randolph, March 12th through the 24th. Ms. Teal Wicks. Teal, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
It's great to have you, and we're all looking forward to Jekyll and Hyde because we don't know a heck of a lot about it.
All right, cool. We'll we're glad to bring it there and introduce everybody.
You know, we talked a little earlier, and it's kind of Phantom of the Apparition, the Victorian type of feel that you get, written by, of course, Robert Louis Stevenson around 1886, and story about dual personalities, and it kind of piques our interest, but now we attach a little music to it, which should even be more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. The music is just fantastic. Frank Wildhorn writes beautiful music, and there's a lot of standout songs that have been recorded and whatnot outside of the show, but as a whole, the music really paints the story and really sort of embraces the whole duality of not just Jekyll and Hyde, but sort of everybody in the cast and kind of, I guess, you know, the world. You want to go deep like that.
Frank Wildhorn, of course, and Leslie Berkus, the songwriter, who did, besides Andrew Lloyd Webber, wrote most everything. He wrote Goldfinger and What Kind of Fool Am I. He worked with Anthony Newley quite extensively, of course, and Tony Awards and Grammy Awards and so forth. And what an opportunity to work with such a great songwriter, a great team.
Yeah, it really is. It's so thrilling. And what's so great is that Frank and Leslie are really sweet. They're really, really sweet, open, dear people that are just so proud of everything that they create. And, I mean, when I first met Frank, he basically was like, welcome to the family. And it's like a family. And then they really love working with people and to work with people again and again and really cherish everybody's talent and everybody's input in the show. So it's been a great process because they've been very open to us as the actors sort of finding our own way and, you know, helping to recreate these characters. And they just seem to love everything that we're doing. So
well, I'm sure the audience will, too. Tell us briefly the story behind. Of course, everybody knows the story of Jekyll and Hyde. But now, as I said before, now we're introducing some music to it. How's this all come about?
Well, it's basically, you know, you take a great classic dark gothic tale that is just sometimes the more dramatic the story, the better it is for music to be put to it, and you just kind of just really fill in these emotions and the journeys of these characters with this rich, rich music. And with this musical and their adaptation of it, they wanted to, you know, sort of juice up the story a little bit. It's loosely based on the novel, mm-hmm. But we've added some more characters. There's Emma and Lucy, who is Deborah. Deborah plays Lucy, to sort of bring some love interest and some, you know, female power and create a little love triangle, because what musical is complete without some love conflict? Yeah.
Well, you've played an iconic role in Elphaba, of course, in Wicked, and now you're Emma in Jekyll and Hyde. Must have been great to be chosen to portray this particular character in another what will prove to be a great musical.
Yeah, I'm really, really lucky. I've had some great opportunities and chances to work with just wonderful people, so I'm very, very grateful. And it's fun, and what's fun with this is, with Wicked, I came into the show after it had been going for a while. So there's only so much that you can really do to reinvent or recreate the character for yourself. But since we started this revisal, as we like to call it, of Jekyll and Hyde, you know, we got to start with the building blocks, mm-hmm. and basically piece it together as we think best fit. So that's been a fun.
Well, you bring up a good point, because Jekyll and Hyde's been around for a few years. In fact, Linda Eder, who was married to Frank Wildhorn, was he not? Starred in this at one time. Were you able to see any of this performance before you stepped into the role?
No, and I'm kind of glad, but no, I wasn't very familiar with the show. I knew some of the songs pretty well, mm-hmm. But I had never seen a production of it, and I'd seen a few clips from the David Hasselhoff version that has been recorded.
All right,
and available. Yeah. But other than that, I wanted to sort of come in, you know, with a fresh take. I knew the story, I reread the book, and
Well, when you're playing these roles, do you think about when you started not too many years ago? Of course, I'd mentioned some of the other musicals you've been in, Carousel and Cabaret in Chicago, and Pippin, of course. Stephen Schwartz must like you a lot because you're in a lot of his plays. Who did you look up to? Who did you emulate when you were younger, kind of honing your craft or molding the way you portray or act on the stage?
Many people. I sort of am very whimsical in the people that inspire me. I sort of, if there's something new, I will find, latch on to somebody that I feel very, I can really relate to as far as a specific role. But, I mean, when I was a kid, I was in love with Julie Andrews.
Sure.
I was Mary Poppins. I thought that she was my nanny. I also love, and one of my favorite performers in the Broadway community is Audra McDonald. Her career is sort of my dream career. I just think she's brave and daring and beautiful and just a brilliant actress and a brilliant singer and just always surprises people. So I think that's wonderful.
Are you focused just on musical theater, or would you like to do some dramatic roles also?
Oh, yes. I love acting. I love singing. I would love to do them separate and, you know, as well as together, but I would love to do, you know, try some TV films, some plays, and then also just do some concerts and not have to, you know, worry about acting and costumes and just sing some amazing songs. And I kind of am up to it all. I like creating stuff, so any way I can.
How long do you plan on being in Jekyll and Hyde?
I think as long as they'll have me. The audiences and the creators, as long as they like me.
Well, Wicked's coming back to Chicago, so we might need you back here for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. It'll be sometime in the later in the year.
I think I have some great friends that are in that, so who knows?
Did you have fun doing that?
Oh, it was a blast. It was quite a role, and it was a fun journey and tiring, but it was really, really, really wonderful.
Well, you know, play the Ryle here in Chicago, and it continues to play in New York forever and ever, as it should, and I wish it played in Chicago forever, but I guess you got to go back and forth a little bit. But certainly one of the great contemporary musicals of all time, and certainly great for young women that come and see it and have a certain direction. I'm sure you got a lot of response when you played Elphaba from the audience, young people coming back and wanting to chat with you a little bit and how you did this and some of the inspiration you gave them along the way.
Some of the stories that people tell me and letters that I would get from fans and whatnot, I mean, just some of the most just amazing stories and just would make me cry a lot because, you know, I'm just an actress doing what I love, but you are touched by the things that you do and by the work that other people do, but when you are getting responses from people about how you've touched them, it still kind of boggles my mind, and I'm so grateful and still really humbled by it all. That's one beautiful thing about Wicked. It really has found an audience, and it really inspires a lot of people to just kind of conquer their odds.
Not dissimilar to you looking at Audra McDonald's. Young people look up at you on the stage and say, someday I'd like to do that, as you did, and here you are, and there's no reason they can't either.
Oh, that's wild.
After a four-year run on Broadway and multiple worldwide tours, this dark and dangerous love story from Tony and Grammy Award nominee Frank Wildhorn and Oscar and Grammy Award winner Leslie Bercoos returns with all its classic songs, now remarkably reinterpreted to suit the powerful and contemporary vocal styling of its new stars. Its story, however, remains as timeless as it is irresistible. A devoted man of science, Dr. Henry Jekyll, is driven to find a chemical breakthrough that can solve some of mankind's most challenging medical dilemmas. Rebuffed by the powers that be, he decides to make himself the subject of his own experimental treatments, accidentally unleashing his inner demons along with the man the world would come to know as Mr. Hyde. This brand new direction and choreography are the work of Tony Award nominee Jeff Calhoun, who's behind the season's breakthrough Broadway hit Newsies. Two Red Hat stars, one cold-blooded thriller, Jekyll and Hyde. No musical has ever held you like this. Broadway in Chicago is thrilled to announce that the all-new production of Jekyll and Hyde will play at the Cadillac Palace Theater, 151 West Randolph Street, for 2 weeks only, March 12th through the 24th. And on the line with us right now is one of the stars of Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, Teal Wicks. Teal, I'm going to give a phone number for people who would like to get some tickets, 800-775-2000. I know you're in beautiful downtown Des Moines right now, but you're going to be coming into Chicago, and hopefully you'll enjoy yourself here, because I know we all are looking forward to the theater.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm thrilled to explore Chicago, and it's just going to be a really good time.
Well, we hope we're warm and welcoming to you, and safe travels, kiddo.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Teal. Teal Wicks, one of the stars, who plays Emma Carew in the hit show Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, at the Cadillac Palace Theater, 151 West Randolph, March 12th through the 24th. Again, for tickets, 800-775-2000. Once again, it's time to dust off the green sweaters and take out the Irish walking sticks as Mercy Home for Boys and Girls prepares for another wonderful event during the season of St. Patrick. Celebrate St. Patrick's Day all March long. Join Mercy Home for Shamrocks for Kids. Mercy Home for Boys and Girls invites everyone to be part of a solution for kids in crisis this March while celebrating all things Irish. Throughout the month, Mercy Home's annual Shamrocks for Kids campaign will feature family-friendly Irish-themed activities and events while raising funds and awareness that help abused, neglected, and at-risk children. There are so many ways anyone can make a difference while enjoying the fun and festivities of St. Patrick's Day. Support throughout March. Chicagoans are asked to wear their Mercy Home shamrocks to show that they support kids in crisis. Volunteer. Mercy Home is looking for volunteers to help raise funds during Shamrocks for Kids. In addition to collecting donations for Mercy Home shamrocks at parades and other celebrations, volunteers can distribute Mercy Home shamrocks or organize fundraising events at their workplaces, in their neighborhoods, at their schools or churches, or even at their own St. Patrick's Day gatherings. And finally, celebrate. Following Chicago St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday, March 16th, Mercy Home will gather for its 18th annual family-friendly celebration at the Chicago Hilton. Guests will enjoy a traditional hot corned beef buffet, leprechaun lunches for the kids, and live Irish music, of course, at the lower-level ballroom with Chicago Hilton, 720 South Michigan. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning musician, one of the most successful entertainers who have come from Chicago's South Side, proud Brother Ice Crusader from Tommy Moore, jazz saxophonist extraordinaire, one of the brightest stars in the world of big bands, and the leader and conductor of Chicago's favorite orchestra, the Rich Daniels City Lights Orchestra, now celebrating St. Patrick's Day at Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, our good pal, Mr. Rich Daniels. Richie, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Kevin, I really need to hire you for my press agent. You're amazing. Thank you for...
Well, I got an amazing guy to talk about. What are you talking about? I got an amazing guy to talk about.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you again, and thank you for all the support and generosity you show to Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
You know, always my pleasure, and I can only be a little bit part of what you guys do, and Mark Schmelzer and, of course, Scott Donahue do such a great job. And this is the month for Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
It is. In many ways, we like to consider it that. We like to celebrate the whole month of March as the Shamrocks for Kids campaign kicks off, and we look for volunteers to help us sell the pins. We're mobilizing 1,000 volunteers on the streets of Cook and DuPage County to sell the Shamrock pins on behalf of Mercy Home. And, of course, we have the great party, as you mentioned, on the 16th of March at the Hilton and Towers. There's so many ways where people can help if they choose to, and we're always grateful for anybody who wants to jump in and lend a hand to support at-risk youth.
Well, Saturday, March 9th, of course, is the Forest Park St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Southside Parade in our Beverly neighborhood down Western Avenue, beginning at 103rd Street, is Sunday, March 10th. Friday, March 15th, is the Downtown Tag Day. Saturday is St. Patrick's Day Parade down Chicago. And Sunday is the Northwest Side St. Patrick's Day Parade, which means that probably Cubs fans are always a little bit behind anyway. We're there for Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, and certainly a great group of people. Tell us a little bit about Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. What types of children does Mercy Home for Boys and Girls care for?
Well, you know, the home's been around in Chicago for 126 years. It's got a legendary background to it, having taken care of thousands and thousands of children. For the last 30 years now, it's been taking care of boys and girls, so thereby the name Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And they take care of children who have no place other than Mercy Home to call their home. It's where they live. These children live at Mercy Home. They live on the boys' campus in the city. They live on the girls' campus on the south side, and that's obviously all girls on one, all boys on the other. And the home does such a wonderful job of changing the lives of these children and helping to put them on a path where all good things can come their way for so many bad things that have happened in the lives of these kids. It's really, when you read the background of the children, it's hard not to get fully vested in what this home does, because the backgrounds are so severe. These children have been so abandoned and so abused by so many people over so many years that when they come to Mercy Home, they have a chance to regain their lives, to start from scratch, and to have the home help them to pick themselves up and get into a better place in their lives. It's amazing.
How long do the kids usually stay there, Richie?
The kids average anywhere from 6 months to 3 or 4 years, but through the aftercare program, kids stay connected to the home as long as they want. And we have many adults who are in their 70s and 80s who remember their days at Mercy Home and
really?
How much it meant to them. So, yeah, aftercare is an amazing component of the Mercy Home family where they stay in touch with the youth for a lifetime. It's really wonderful.
Now, not only did they go to school there, but they're required to work, too, which gives them a little, you know, not from theory, practical knowledge of the work world.
It does. And actually, the kids don't go to school at the home. The home is literally just like any other house where children are being raised. It's their home. It's that loving structure where they have their meals, they sleep, they are nurtured by their family. And then the home actually pays to educate the kids in 51 area schools that we have partnerships with. So we pay full tuition for these children at many schools in the private system and then some in the public system, too. And the kids leave for school just like they would if they were living at a house in a residential neighborhood, and then they return in the afternoon where they're tutored, they're mentored, they're loved, they're cared for, and all the things they were missing in their lives is given to them inside of Mercy.
And there's a great deal of cost involved here in the state. Certainly the way things are now isn't picking up much of it.
No, the Mercy Home has always been very proud of the fact that 99% of Mercy Home is self-funded, meaning that it comes from donations such as from your listeners and from great friends and groups and people who choose to support the work of the home. The government gives us virtually no funding at all. The Mercy Home is self-funded. They're very proud of that fact, and every dollar that is given to Mercy Home is shepherded and respected and just governed so well. People are very, very happy when they give a dollar to Mercy Home because they know how well that dollar is being used.
With the way young kids are, and certainly different than the world that you and I grew up in on the South Side, what's the success rate been for Mercy Home for boys and girls?
Well, measuring success is an interesting thing, and Mercy Home does a great job of measuring success by graduation rate, by occupancy rate, by how long children stay in program. The graduation rate is something that we love to point to because of the eligible children that were eligible to graduate from a grade school or a high school who lived at Mercy Home the last 3 years, 100% of them graduated either their grade school or high school program. So that's an amazing accomplishment. It may not sound like it to many listeners, but it is when you consider that so many of these children come to the home and they are so far below grade level. They have so much room to make up that to get them through graduation, get them to high school, get them through grade school, get them into a college program is an amazing accomplishment, which we celebrate every year at a luncheon at the Hilton in May where we celebrate the graduates every year with the Women's Leader Council, which is a component, one of the five boards at Mercy Home. And again, Mercy Home has such great support, Kevin. It's inspiring to be a part of that community and to watch how many people come together to support the work that's done at Mercy.
Well, certainly your enthusiasm is infectious, as is everyone else's in and around the area there. And it's easy to participate because with the great leadership, Father Scott's doing such a remarkable job. Mark Schmelzer does a terrific job getting the word out to everyone. And have the opportunity to help on. I use this before, and I know you and I have talked about this. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And certainly you and Mark and all the great people that are involved in Mercy Home Boy are reflective of that.
It really is. And Father Scott is a role model not only for the children who call Mercy Home home, but for all the benefactors and all the donors and all the various board members who participate. We all look to him for that leadership and that guidance, and he sets such a great example for how at-risk youth need to be cared for in this country and how this is such a major crisis in our society and how things can be better, how things can be changed.
So this is important that we watch out for the people out there, or the volunteers who are helping us out with Shamrocks for Kids. And we got to make sure that we pick up and make a little donation and get our Shamrocks and wear them proudly and tell everybody what they're all about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the Shamrock pins, we look for a $2 donation to wear a nice-looking Shamrock pin for the season of St. Patrick. So the $2 is a modest amount for most folks, and it's an appreciated amount by the home. And so we have 1,000 volunteers on the street, and so when you see a volunteer and you want to throw a couple of dollars in the can, you want to throw more than a couple of dollars in the can.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that, too. So.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Rich Daniels and the City Lights Orchestra. You know, we're showcasing on the show today The Night Belongs to the City, which is a terrific CD, which I'm enjoying. And you've had such great things of late coming out. What's new with the orchestra?
You know, Kevin, we've been very lucky. You and I have chatted over lunch and, you know, over the years. You've been so supportive of great music in Chicago, and we're very fortunate to be just one of many entities that produces music in the Chicagoland community that's been received by so many people and listeners. So we've been very fortunate with great opportunities for the orchestra. We're doing some recording these days. We had a new Christmas song come out this past holiday season. We'll be back in the studio this summer doing another compilation of some of the things we've been accumulating over the years. So we're keeping very busy, and we're very blessed to be as active as we are and to have had as many opportunities as we've had. This is our 39th year since we started as the Big Band Machine in 1970.
Geez, are you that old?
I feel a lot older. Does that mean anything? I was 14 when we started this thing, and that's the truth, actually.
Well, that's right. And, of course, you were at Brother Rice, the great jazz band over there. Right. And think of all the great people you've worked with, of course. Burt Bacharach and Bobby Vinton, Diane Carroll, Dionne Warwick, Don Rickles, Donny Osmond, Marvin Hamlisch, the late, great Marvin Hamlisch, who I had the opportunity to have on my radio show. It was a delight to talk to such an accomplished guy. Melissa Manchester, Peebo Bryson, the late Phyllis Diller, Robert Klein, and it goes on and on and on. And if people want information, please share your website with everybody.
Well, there's a large website on the web, www.citylightsorchestra.com, and you can find out more information about the orchestra there. And our charity of choice, of course, is Mercy Home, and mercyhome.org is their web address. So if you're interested in more information about the home and whatnot, I meant to give that web address earlier. Mercyhome.org has got all the info about all the festivities surrounding the home this month.
Where do you get the energy from, Richie? Where do you get that fire keeps coming? As you said, you've been doing this for 39 years. What motivates you?
Well, it used to be from 8 cans of Diet Coke a day, but I've stopped at the zero now. So I'm looking for a new caffeine substitute, if anybody has any suggestions. It has no calories in it. So
well, I suggested one, too, Mark, last night, but I don't
that tends to take it the other way. That's a particular libation.
Well, of course, and I don't think there's any recording studios at 79th in California, are there?
Any what? I'm sorry.
Recording studios at 79th in California, so all your stuff has moved a little farther north, hasn't it?
Yeah, most of our time is spent in downtown Chicago. We're happy to be there, and we have an office down on Ohio Street for the orchestra, a little tiny office that's across the street from one of the great studios in the Midwest, the Chicago Recording Company, which we have many opportunities to work in.
But you're involved with a lot of different associations and charitable organizations, and you've played at a lot of different functions. Of course, the City Lights Orchestra, and Rich Daniels has always been involved in it, and they're the type of people, and you're the type of guy that, you know, it's hard to say no, because, as I said before, this is what you do, this is who you are, this is the way we were raised. You know, you help out when somebody asks, and you're there.
Well, yeah, that's right, and you're the same way, and so many of your listeners are, and so many of the people we've had a chance to get to know are, and it's, you know, that old line of there but for the grace of God go I. The distance between that guy selling Streetwise on the street and the rest of us isn't that great when it comes down to it.
That's the truth. Once again, it's time to dust off the green sweaters and take out the Irish walking sticks. It's Mercy Home for Boys and Girls prepares for another wonderful event during the season of St. Patrick. Mercy Home for Boys and Girls is a Catholic organization answering the gospel call to minister to all children and families in need. Mercy Home saves young lives by providing a safe, nurturing home, opportunity for an excellent education, and means for personal growth. Supports healing for families, is committed to raising public awareness of youth in need, and encourages support to help them, and is sustained by benefactors who believe in the miracle of God's mercy in action. Mercy Home for Boys and Girls invites everyone to be part of a solution for kids in crisis this March while celebrating all things Irish. Throughout the month, Mercy Home's annual Shamrocks for Kids campaign will feature family-friendly Irish-themed activities and events while raising funds and awareness that help abused, neglected, and at-risk children. Of course, watch out for all the volunteers selling those shamrocks, and culminating with the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Saturday, March 16th for Mercy Home, the 18th annual family-friendly celebration at the Chicago Hilton. Guests will enjoy a traditional Irish hot corned beef buffet, leprechaun lunches for the kids, and live Irish music and dance. On the line with us right now is our good pal, Richie Daniels. Richie, one more time for phone numbers and websites so people can participate.
Sure, www.mercyhome.org or 312-738-7560. We'll get you right to the switchboard, and we'll take all the help anybody wants to give us.
Always a pleasure, my pal, and the lunch is on me the next time, which is going to be very soon after St. Patrick's Day. I hope we can rendezvous and certainly tell Father Scott and Mark, thanks for always setting things up, and it's always a pleasure to chat with you, my pal.
As well, thank you, and I look forward to lunch. As long as it's not corned beef, I'll be happy.
God bless you, my pal.
Thank you.
Richie Daniels, one of the great Chicagoans, the VIPs of Chicago, and of course, very engaged and involved in Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. And St. Patrick's Day is a great celebration. And for information, again, 312-738-8330. And I thank Mark Schmelzer for putting things together. And certainly a great way to spend a little time after the parade and next Sunday and with all the Irishmen and those who wish they were on St. Patrick's Day at the Chicago Hilton Towers. Well, let's continue chatting about all things Irish. We'll have a little more to talk about next week on our show about St. Patrick's Day. But an Irish friendship wish and an Irish blessing. May there always be work for your hands to do. May your purse always hold a coin or two. May the sun always shine on your window pane. May a rainbow be certain to follow each rain. May the hand of a friend always be near you. May God fill your heart with gladness to cheer you. Work like you don't need the money. Love like you've never been hurt. Dance like nobody's watching. Sing like nobody's listening. Live like it's heaven on earth. And the blessing, may the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. An Irish priest was driving to New York and gets stopped for speeding in Connecticut. The state trooper smells alcohol in the priest's breath and then sees an empty wine bottle on the floor of the car. He says, "Sir, have you been drinking?" "Just water," says the priest. The trooper says, "Then why do I smell wine?" The priest looks at the bottle and says, "Good Lord, he's done it again." Well, I had to end with a little funny there. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Teal Wicks, who stars as Emma Carew in the hit show Jekyll and Hyde, the musical, playing at the Cadillac Palace Theater, 151 West Randolph, March 12th through the 24th. For information, 800-775-2000. Patrick Doyle, the award-winning restaurateur and one of the brightest young stars in Chicago's fine dining scene. Of course, the director of operations for The Gage, located at 24 North Michigan, and Henri, right next door, celebrating St. Patrick's Day and celebrating St. Patrick's Week. For information, 312-372-4243. Finally, our good pal Rich Daniels, the leader and conductor of Chicago's favorite orchestra, the Rich Daniels City Lights Orchestra, and so very involved with Mercy Home for Boys and Girls celebrating St. Patrick's Day and their Shamrock for Kids. So keep an eye out on the street corners and wherever else in Chicago and pick up one of those shamrocks. For information, 312-738-8330. Finally, a famous writer once said, "One ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words." I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day. In your eyes I may not see forever. Forever. If we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows. Then a luck, then I.